Praise God. Let's give him a hand. He did a wonderful job. Awesome job. Glory. Thanks to Ashton and Destiny and Cole as well. And Naomi, that beautiful singing for the with the national anthem. Praise God. Glory to God. The Bible talks about that in the end times there will be wars and rumors of wars. That nations will rise upon nations. But he also says that when we start seeing all these things that he says, basically around Matthew 24, you can read it in there. It says to look up, for our redemption draws near. In other words, he gives us, he doesn't tell us exactly what time or when or what date, but he does say these signs, when you start seeing these things happen, look up, for our redemption draws nigh. You know, when we look at so many different types of empires that have risen and have fallen, when we really look at the underlying reason is because they have given their backs unto God. When Israel prospered, it was because they were seeking God in spirit and in truth. But when they stopped doing that and started giving their backs to God, then they started backing up, being in slavery and what happened and so on and so on. You see it in the Roman Empire. We see it in the British Empire. And now we live in this nation, this great nation that we call the United States of America. People dying to get here. People risking their lives, doing so many things trying to get here. This may not be the perfect nation or the perfect country, but it is the best in the world. And that's not by coincidence, because this nation was founded in the Judeo-Christian way or values. Little do we know sometimes that the scriptures tells us. Psalms 33:12. What does it say? It said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people that inherit it. In other words, blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah God of Israel, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Israel. All the, there's nothing, when you start looking at, when you start giving your back to the people of God, to the nation of God, where he says, blessed is the nation. If he says, blessed is the nation, then what happens if you're not doing it? Cursed is the nation. It just goes backwards. Now, if you didn't know, we are in a battle. We are in a physical battle in different things that's going on. And we are also in a spiritual battle. I like that almost all the songs are almost all of my message, to tell you the truth. Because we are in a battle. Now, I served in the military for several years, first Army, then retired from the Air Force. Seen many things, different kinds of opportunities that, first of all, the Lord gave me. I didn't even know it was the Lord at the time because I didn't serve him when I first started. But everything that went through my life, I started seeing how this nation is blessed. How the things that we have to defend ourselves are just above anything you can think of. That's right now. Because we are still a nation that serves the true God. We are still a nation where many missionaries leave the United States, sometimes leaving their comfort, their nice, beautiful homes, their cars, their way of life here to go and sleep in the dirt somewhere to reach out somebody that still hasn't heard the gospel. And this nation is blessed to have so many people going into those different areas, because this is still a nation that serves God. It's dwindling. I heard a little statistics the other day that between 2009 and 2019, there's been a reduction of about 11% in people that believe in God. It's only 10 years, so that's basically 1% per year. And we see how many things are trying to take over, because when God is not present, well, who's there? It's the enemy, right? The devil. It's either the devil's there or God is there. The same thing in our life. Either God is with us or the devil is with us. There's only two. And only two places we're going to go, either to heaven or to hell. And I preached that before as well. Now, in the many places that I've served or in the many positions that I've served, one of the main ones that it wasn't like I liked it, but it was so interesting, was because I was in charge of a program that was called NBC program, which most of you that have been in the military probably know that stands for nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare. Of the different weapons that are available to many of the big nations. And in that, we had to identify, we had to know what it was, we had to know how to protect against that, and we needed to know how to treat it in case we were exposed to that. It's no different in the body of Christ. We need to identify what the weapons are when the enemy comes against us. We need to be able to protect ourselves when the enemy comes against us. And when those are exposed, we need to learn how to treat that. It's no coincidence that the scriptures tells us that he who thinks he's strong to help the weak. So we help each other out in that sense. Now, for the title of this message, I'm going to continue on with NBC. But in this case, it stands for No One But Christ. He's our everything. No one but Christ. Now, yeah, you may say that, okay, we have battles, but that God has the battles. The battle is his, and that's what Scripture says. But also, look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. What does that say? It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of whose warfare? Ours. So there is a war. There is this need to continuously train, to continuously go forward and be all we can be in the Lord. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So if they're not carnal, that means what? It's in the spiritual realm. But we are at war. And three areas that we have to focus on when we're in the military to make sure that we have a militia that can respond is the first one is recruit, the second one is train, and then the third one is equipping. Doesn't that sound familiar of something that the Lord does in our lives as well as Christians? We go out and we look for prospects for different people to come to the military on a voluntary basis. The Lord himself told the people, what? Go out and make disciples. He didn't ask. He said, go out and make disciples. And that's not just to the pastor or to the leadership up here. It's to each and every one of us. How many of us have spoken to our neighbor or someone right next to us in our cubicle or our offices at work about the Lord? Or how many are afraid to do so? When the scripture says that, I am not ashamed of the gospel. How many at school? The youth. You know, the tomorrows is the youth of today's. So the youth, let's go ahead and talk to the other friends or what have you in school in different areas. So we have this active role. The Bible talks about, and that was Matthew 28:19, by the way, for those that are writing it down, going out and making disciples. Now, the next category is to train. Now, this is a lot of the focus in the military is training, 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 training. Why? Because when we go out and do whatever we need to do, it has to be second nature. It already has to be in us. We don't have time to think about it or to argue about it or to try to change things or try to come up and get together in some kind of brainstorming session and decide what we're going to do. No. You learned it. You need to execute it. So training is a big, big deal in the military, and it's also a big deal in the spiritual life. Now, what's the first thing that happens? I talked about recruiting. We get to our place of wherever it is that we're going to do basic training or officer training school, wherever it may be. The first thing when that happens is that you're going to have a bunch of drill sergeants or some other people in charge that are breathing down your neck and yelling at you. And it doesn't matter what you do. You can do it right or you can do it wrong. And guess what? It's going to be wrong. Because to them, failure is a bigger teacher, or a better teacher, I should say, than success. And a lot of folks, sometimes, all they've known is success, success, success. And sometimes as parents, you don't want to see them fail, so you try to help them out a little bit so they can be successful. But then when they go into the real world, what happens? They don't know what failure is all about. I've seen this a lot in my time in my career where smart kids, smarter, way smarter than I could ever been. But when it comes to analyzing or doing things or thinking for themselves to change something, it's not all there. Why? Because it was given to them a lot of times. They were successful continuously. So what happens in the military, they start breaking you down. They start trying to take away that pride that's in your heart or that's in your heart. It's in your mind. Isn't that something like also in the scriptures? Where it tells us that we have to give up our pridefulness, that we have to come and be humble, humility, come to God with a contrite heart. Think about that. So then after all that, we go into testing. So we start testing people. Okay, this is what you were trained for. Now we're going to conduct a test. So, but what happens if you don't pass the test? Well, you go to remedial training and you get tested again. And if you don't, then you get remedial training and test it again. Until either you get it or you just don't get it. And guess what? It may not be for you. Simple as that. Now, as you've noticed already, I'm making comparisons to all this in a war, putting a militia together, comparing it to the way of the church. So when we see that, hey, we're being tested, doesn't the Bible talks about testing, trials, tribulations? We're tested. So what did I just say if you don't pass the first test? You go to remedial training, you get tested again, and you get tested again. Some people, oh, I get out of one and I'm in another thing. Oh, get out of that one and I'm in another thing. Well, you might not be passing the test. So you keep getting tested until you pass the test to see how much do you really love God? Is God really the person that you're trusting? Do you really commit yourself to Jesus as your Lord and Savior in your heart? Do you really understand the power of the Holy Spirit? A lot of these things in the training. So what happens after that? Then it comes, we conduct exercises. Now, exercises, I don't mean jumping jacks or push-ups or anything like that. You know, exercises, you go out and you start actually doing things like to training to see if you could perform in a time of war. The thing about the military is that they train you and train you and train you the same way that you would find yourself in the real deal. You train like you fight, is the saying. So they would train you continuously to do that in the field. So a lot of times we go out, whether it's missionaries, whether whatever the case may be, and we'll go out and do these things in the actual field exercising. Now, the other thing that kind of popped out to me was that we don't do it alone. We do it as a team. And everybody gets that ingrained in their mind. You're a team. You're a team. They don't even say that, but the way they perform and do the exercises and they train you is that you're depending on your buddy. If we go to war, I'm depending that he's got my back, and I'm surely going to have his back. Now, isn't that something that also should be in the body of Christ? Why? Because ultimately, I want to make sure that he comes back home and that I come back home. It always tears me up, and I said this last night, too, in our Saturday bilingual service. It tears me up when I see that people, soldiers are coming in and maimed, no legs, or whatever the case may be, and they're wondering when can they go back and fight because their buddies are still out there. And I think I'm going like, you know, some people came and they have psychological impairments and some without limbs and what have you, but some, like the pastor said earlier, pay the ultimate sacrifice. I'm sure there were moms waiting for them to come. And they received them in a casket with the flag draped over them. Hard to know, to see spouses, you know, watching over them at in the hospital because they don't have no legs or what have you. And like the pastor said earlier, he goes, sometimes we complain about so many little things. But yet a lot of people paid that ultimate sacrifice. They didn't come back. But we want to assure as a body of Christ that when that trumpet sounds or he calls us by name, that we can say, oh, you made it. Come, yeah. I want everybody to be with me when we meet the Lord. So we watch each other's back. The next one, equipment or equip. We want to make sure that each person has the equipment they need. Some may be issued an M4, M9, M16A, M60 machine, whatever. Just you need the weapons if you're going to go to war. Nobody's going to stand there, you know, and say like, well, we have to talk about this. We have to go over here and do a huddle and brainstorm how we're going to get along, or you're going to have to go into some conflict resolution training or so many things. No, that doesn't happen. So the weapons are issued. Next thing is that they teach us how to use and different types of communication systems, which is very important. And keep that in mind for what I'm about to say here in a little bit. The other thing is that we need to have knowledge of our enemy. Who are they? What's their favorite way of attacking? Their weapon system, location, leadership hierarchy, and what have you. We have to have an ultimate knowledge of our enemy. Now let's look at, okay, let's compare that to the body of Christ. I said weapons to start off with. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. What does it talk about? Putting on the full armor of God so that we may be able to withstand. It doesn't matter if you're trying to be good or do this or do that. If God's not with you, you're not going to succeed. Because if you could, then why did Christ die? So think about that. He has issued us all the weapons we need. The other thing, we're talking about means of communication. What does he say? Well, Matthew 26, 14 and Luke 22, 46, what did Jesus say to the disciples there? He says, pray. Pray for that you won't fall into temptation. Didn't say that temptation wasn't going to come, but that you wouldn't fall into temptation. So there has to be a communication method that we use continuously to be successful. So the next thing says about knowledge of our enemy. John 10:10, what does that say? He says that a thief cometh at night. Says the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So if we know that the enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, then why are we going to pay attention or come closer to the enemy? And you may say, well, I don't do that. Well, when you're not doing the things of God, then you're not doing the things of God. You're doing the things of the devil. It's as simple as that. Jesus, in one occasion, what did he say? He says that you do the things of the devil and that you're like your father. So he tells them that their father is the devil for doing the things of the devil. And on another occasion, he says that those who love me will do will follow the commandments, will follow me. So we're either doing it or not doing it. Now, after all this, we've got recruiting, training, and equipping. We're going to go and go fight. And with all we've learned, there's one big thing that we focus on, and that is to mitigate fear. It doesn't get rid of it. You go to combat, you go to wherever you're going to go, and you don't get rid of it, but you mitigate it. In other words, you look for things to overcome the fear. What's the next thing? Live for that day. Nobody's thinking about tomorrow. They're living for that day. Will I survive today? Will I have enough food and everything else for today? Live for that day. What does the scripture say to compare that with? John 14, 1 through 3 talks about, let your heart not be troubled. So when we say fear, mitigating fear, scriptures tells us, let your heart not be troubled. Philippians 6 through 7 talks about, don't worry about tomorrow. How many people get all fluttered for any little thing that happens in their life? Either in that moment, in that minute, or what have you, they get all fluttered about it like it's the end of the world. Where the scriptures tells us, don't worry about anything. I got this, says God. We don't have it. When we try to help God, we mess it up. And a lot of times we think we can help God for some reason or another. So having said all that, now we look at what are we going to be doing? How are we going to do it? So we said we're going to take out the enemy, first of all, by taking out the communication system. First step. Next thing is we're going to take out or fracture leadership. Now, a lot of times when the leadership gets destroyed or gets fractured, what happens to the followers? They get all confused, not knowing what direction, where are they going to go, and what have you. Then the next thing is we're going to destroy our enemy's weapons. And then the last thing, weakening the opposing force. Now, weakening doesn't mean that necessarily you're going to take them out or kill them, but a lot of times fighting militarily, they weaken them by injuring or by doing something where it takes more people to take care of those that are injured and hurt, because now you've got a lot more people that are unavailable to give you a fight. So now let's take all this and let's turn it around. And let's say that the enemy is coming towards us. So if he's trying to take out our communication system, and I'm talking about the body of Christ now. If the enemy is coming against us, trying to take out our communication system, what are we talking about when we say communication system? I mentioned it earlier. In prayer, talking to God. Now, how can he take that out? Well, he'll put things in the midst of your life to keep you occupied from getting there. Whether it's a lot of television, whether it's work, whether it's the kids, whether whatever, business, whatever the case may be. So he's going to try to take out that communication system because he knows that the closer you get to God, the closer God gets to you. So he's going to try to take out that communication system. The next one, he's going to try to take out or fracture the leadership. A lot of times, the leader standing up here, people follow because they know the pastor or whatever, other leaders. And when they're strong, and it could be even in your home, marriage, what have you. But when the leadership is either fractured or taken out, it causes division. It causes that breakdown. So he tries to do this a lot. The next one is destroy the weapons. Again, keep us from getting to where we need to be with the Lord. Then weakening or opposing force. A lot of times he can't go against somebody because the enemy can't. So what happens? He'll try to use somebody else to weaken that person or the leader. whether it's your children, whether it's your spouse, whether it's work, whatever the case may be, so that the leadership can be weakened. So at the end here, just to close it up, I mentioned that, believe it or not, we are in a battle. We are in a battle. And yes, the Lord says that the battle is His. But like I mentioned earlier, 2 Corinthians, He says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we are in a battle, and there is certain responsibilities that we need to do. We can't just sit back and say, Lord, I gave my life to You, and now You've got it, and now I can just not do anything. That's not the way it works. Time after time, Scriptures tells us that when people got closer to God, God got closer to them. And when people started giving their back to God, then God started saying, well, you think you know best, go for it. But then when the enemy steps in, then the enemy's got it. So the other thing it mentioned about is the prayers. This is where I want to end. When I thought about, or it came to me about this message, for some odd reason or another, the Lord knows, it was over in when we went to Ecuador. For some reason, we were waiting for some of the folks to come pick us up to go to the next church that we were going to, and to the outdoor revival we were going to. We were waiting there, and it just hit me about, you know, Veterans Day and a message. So I asked Paul, I said, you know, you mind if I bring the message on Veterans Day? It just kind of hit me like that. So Paul, being the guy he is, he says, are you kidding me? No, I'm just kidding. No. So anyway, so here I am, and the Lord knows everything. So the Lord knows what message touches your heart, what is needed, what our failings are, what our strengths, our weaknesses, whatever. He knows it all. But I feel that in these last days, and I see it this way, that God is calling the church to rise up and to pray and to fast and to seek His word. And then leave it all up to Him. But we can't just leave it all up to Him and we're not praying or fasting or seeking His word in the spiritual realm. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual. Let's go ahead and stand. And right there where you are, you have a petition in your heart. Just raise up your hand, and I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Paul. Could be for sickness, finances, family members, whatever the case may be. Glory to God. A lot of times God will see your brave hand pop up, because a lot of times people are like, I don't have to raise up my hand. Well, okay. So praise God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, Lord, for You are God and there is no other. You created us and we didn't create ourselves, Lord. You got this, Lord. And Father, in these days, Father, I know that You're wanting Your people to rise up and to seek You in spirit and in truth. There's a world that still needs You. Even those that may say they're Christians, Lord, but they're in a weak state, Father God, and need those that are strong to give them a hand up, Father. So in the name of Jesus, I ask You for each and every one that has said present here this morning to bless them in a mighty and special way, Lord. I ask You, Father, for those that have raised their hand because of some sickness in their body or of a loved one or what have you, I ask You right now, Jesus, because You took all our hurt, all our infirmities at the cross of Calvary, and by Your stripes we were healed, Lord. For that word, I ask for Your divine healing upon each and every one, Lord. Rise them up. Let it be a witness to the mighty things that You do, Lord. I pray for those that are in financial need. Bless them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and supply all their needs according to Your riches in glory, Lord. Father, I ask you to take away all pridefulness, anything, Lord, that's in us that's not agreeable to you. Take it out in the name of Jesus. And that we may have a humble heart to come to you. That you will write, Lord, your word, your messages, Lord, in our hearts, Father, so that by the abundance of the heart, our mouth can speak as you want us to say and speak and not what we want, Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, just like the song said about the chains. But Lord, I bind, Lord, and rebuke all things of the enemy that try to come against your church. Because your word says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. And right here, Lord, in Three Point Bible Church, this is your church. This is your body. This is your children. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, help us continuously go forward like you want us, Lord, and not like we want. We bind all things of the enemy that might try to come against us, Lord. For your word says that whatever we bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven. I give you praise. And whatever we loose here on earth shall be loose in heaven, Lord. So I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, Lord. And touch each and every person that have raised their hand for whatever their need is. Give them a spirit of prayer, a spirit of fasting, a spirit of your word, Lord. Fill us, Father God, that we may serve you in spirit and in truth until that day comes where you call us by name or that trumpet sounds. I give you praise, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.